In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Of all the parables that Jesus teaches his followers, today's has got to be one of the hardest to fathom. What are we to make of Jesus' statement that we should, quote, make friends for ourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome us into the eternal homes? It just so happens that at this very hour, our sainted Sunday school teachers here at Grace are having their first Sunday school class of the year, and they begin the school year trying to explain to our kids how and why Jesus wants us to, quote, make friends for ourselves by means of dishonest wealth. So if you see a Sunday school teacher at coffee hour, give them your heartfelt thanks and sympathies. To a certain extent, today's parable is about money. The rich man has a manager who squanders his boss's funds. And when word gets back to the owner about this, he tells his manager that he'd better come in and explain himself. But before he does so, the manager scurries around and ingratiates himself with his boss's debtors so as to make sure there are folks out there who like him once he's been fired and needs a new job. As we read this parable, we come to the conclusion that the manager is, and there's no other way to put it, a slime ball. This may be the first time the word slime ball has been spoken from this pulpit, I think. And those hearing this parable at the time must have been thinking up through verse 8, this slime ball is going to get his comeuppance any verse now. They must have thought that what they were hearing was a cautionary tale. Do not be like this dishonest manager, because if you are... But then, Jesus surprises us all by saying that, quote, his master commended the dishonest manager because he'd acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. Rather than a cautionary tale, the dishonest manager turns out to be a shining example. I wonder what my poor mother-in-law is teaching those Sunday school kids about this verse right now. Now, unless you are a cloistered monk or nun, and I think very few of us here today are, as a Christian, you are called to be in this world, but not of this world. We are called to live a dual existence, in a sense, committing ourselves to living fully in this world and caring for the people and creation of this world that God has given us, but also called to not be overtaken by the temptations of this world, the idols of wealth, status, and power. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus puts this dual calling bluntly by saying, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Easy to say, harder to do. As a Russian studies major in college, I can't help but remember what Ronald Reagan said about Soviet nuclear disarmament. Trust, but verify. Is that even possible? Since by verifying, you're tacitly admitting that you don't trust. Perhaps Reagan could have said it better as hope, but verify. In 1938, the British Prime Minister, Neville Chamberlain, agreed with Hitler that Germany could annex the Sudetenland, the ethnically German region of Czechoslovakia, and thereby Europe would have peace. A year later, Hitler took the rest of Czechoslovakia, and then Poland, and then most of Europe. And it was anything but peace in our time, as Chamberlain had said in 1938. Chamberlain had been as innocent as a dove, but not as wise as a serpent, and Europe had paid the price. The dishonest manager in today's parable is commended for acting shrewdly. Now, if we're asked how we think Jesus wants us to live our lives, very few of us would say shrewdly. Jesus wants us to live shrewdly. But that's essentially what he's asking us to do by being wise as serpents. Now, he also wants us to live our lives lovingly and thankfully and prayerfully, but not to the exclusion of being clever or shrewd. The crux of the matter is this. What is your goal in living life shrewdly? Are you doing so simply to benefit yourself? Or are you doing so for a greater purpose? Jesus makes that an important distinction later in chapter 16 when he describes how not to use whatever wealth you have in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus doesn't say in the parable, the rich man was a very successful businessman and had a prodigious income. Isn't that awful? Jesus condemns the rich man in the parable because he never so much as lifts a finger to help the soul, to help a soul, but rather, quote, dressed in purple and fine linen and feasted sumptuously every day. He was shrewd only for himself. The very last thing Jesus says in today's reading from Luke is that you cannot serve both God and wealth, and of course that's true. We need to serve God and to put the wealth we have to the service of God's people. We can't do that if we live this life as though it were already heaven, as if we should always trust with no need to verify, as though we could be innocent with no need to ever be shrewd. The question always before us is how we live shrewdly, not for ourselves alone, but for God's kingdom. And our challenge in this life is to be shrewd, not because we despair of any goodness of human nature, but because we know that mere mortals are always subject to temptation. May our shrewdness be a blessing to the children of God, whose mercy saves us, no matter how innocent or wise we may be. And pray that we may all be a little of both. Amen.